couple of announcements. We do have Mom's Night Out next Thursday, the 25th. It's here at the church at 7 o'clock, and it is a workout. Are y'all ready to work out? Oh, come on. It's look at, I'm like, so wear your workout clothes. I think it's kind of a bar type class, right? If you have a yoga mat, you can bring it with you, water bottle, or I recommend chocolate. Bring chocolate. It makes working out much more fun. That's what I would do. All right, so I'm going to ask Heather to come up with me. So this morning we have a great speaker, Heather Harrison. And as we told you in our little email, Heather is like somebody we always ask to come back every year. And this year we said, Heather, will you come back and talk about one specific topic? And she's like, oh, I don't do that. Here's somebody. And we're like, never mind. Just tell us what you want to talk about and then she can come. So she's here this morning and she's going to share with us wisdom from other moms. I've already read through a bunch of it. It's super super cool. So you're going to love it. So come up here and I'll pray with you and then you can tell them more about. Yeah. Okay. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for our friend Heather and her willingness to come and share with us this morning, Lord. Just pray that you would open our ears and hearts to hear what she has to share, Lord, and that each of us will walk away a little more encouraged in our motherhood this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much,
you're
Amy.
You're welcome so much.
Okay. And thank you so much for continuing to invite me back here. And I know I start with the same words every time, but truly walking into this room is like walking into a room of life. And I know for many of you who have been up at night with these beautiful babies, that's not so much the way. But truly, yesterday I was with a large group of women at Intel all day, a whole different kind of life. I walk in here and I see babies lying on the floor. And it just fills my heart with joy. So thank you for inviting me back again and again. So for those of you who don't know me, I have a huge passion around learning and a huge passion about helping people live life on purpose. And by that I mean on purpose. What is your mission in life? What is your vision for yourself? And then on purpose, how do I live life with intentionality? How do I do things on purpose? So I spend my time working with folks in the realms of coaching, in the realms of counseling, and in the realms of consulting and teaching. And again, really thankful to be here this morning. Every time I'm invited here, I think to myself, how cool would it be if I could bring like this huge panel of women and that you could ask questions that are on your mind as moms with young kids? So when Tabitha said, okay, Heather, do whatever you want to do, I said, okay, this is a time that I can get creative because I'm much more about creating conversation than I am about standing up here and telling you all something. So I remembered back 17 years ago, I was exactly where you all are. I was sitting here, I had a newborn on my lap, I had a 1.5-year-old, and I had a 3-year-old. And yes, that is 3 kids in 3 years. And you know, 17 years goes like that, and you think, oh, those kids, those moms with kids that have older kids, they've got it easy. I'm going to use a different word. It's different. I have 2 in college, 1 in high school. It's different. You are still a mom, and you still look at that tall being as that little being that was on your lap. So when I was in your season of life, I would go up continually, I mean on a daily or weekly basis, to moms of older kids. And I would do this in grocery stores, I would do it in churches, I would do it wherever. And I would say, if you had to do motherhood over again, what would you do the same and what would you do differently? And I got the best advice. Mind you, I'm an avid reader and I never picked up a book on parenting because I thought, this is such an experiential adventure. I want to know, really, what are these moms that have gone before me? What do they do or what would they do? And so I thought, what if I just sent out an email to a random group of people? Would they give me responses to those questions? And they did. I got 17 pages of responses. And I'm telling you, they moved my heart. They sometimes move me to tears. And so that's what I'm going to share with you today, is wisdom from women that have walked before us. And truly, we have 4 hours of content here and experience that we could have. And so we're going to do a snapshot in the next 45 minutes or so. And then I'm going to encourage you to bring it into your small groups. And I'm going to encourage you to take it out into your home and into your neighborhoods and just really wrestle with this wisdom that people have learned as they have gone through before us in motherhood. They're moms ranging in age from 32 all the way up to 80, with kids who are newborns all the way up to 55 years old. So before we start that, I was reminded the other night, I was working with a woman and she said, "Oh my gosh, Heather," she said, "this has been quite a day. I woke up, my toddler was crying, he was fussing, got him down, got my four-year-old in the car, she threw a huge temper tantrum. They're both in the back of the car now. I'm driving to a MOPS group to meet with other women, and I'm in the front of the car sobbing hysterically, and my kids are in the back of the car screaming hysterically." And I thought, oh, sister, I remember those days like they were yesterday. So before we dive into this, I want to take just a few minutes and have us close our eyes, and we are going to go from a mind full over there to perhaps a more mindful present place. A quick technique, you can do it anytime, anywhere, but just for a moment, I want you to close your eyes, or if you're not comfortable with that, focus on something just to keep your attention on one spot. And we are going to do what's called four square breathing. So in your head, if you can picture a square, we're going to inhale up the side of the square for four counts. Exhale across as though you're going across the square. And exhale loud enough that your partner, your neighbor can hear you. Inhale down the square. And exhale across the square. And then rest for four counts. So we're going to do this again a couple of times. So breathe in, out, breathe in, and out, and rest, and breathe in, and out, and in, and out. Two more times. In, out, and in, out, rest, and breathe in. And all those thoughts that are going through your head, I want you to just let them pass by as though they were cars on a freeway and you were looking at them on an overpass. Breathe out. And in. Notice those thoughts and let them go. And out. And rest. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and come back to the room. What did you notice? A couple comments. What did you notice in that? Relaxation. So you noticed you were a little bit more relaxed. Totally. Okay, totally relaxed. Anybody else? Yeah. Okay. Okay, yes, great. So your mind, she noticed her mind was busy, 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 and she could bring it back to the square and just focus on that square. Yep. Somebody here? Somebody else? No.
You get more aware of your body, like if your shoulders were raised or...
Yeah. And that's your body. Your body actually starts responding. Your shoulders are up here and they slowly begin to relax down. Yeah. So, and that is literally, we did that for about 60 to 90 seconds. So if you can think about doing that for a couple minutes even in your day, or for 30 seconds when you just feel like your head is about to explode or your body is about to explode, just for a moment, allowing yourself to be just a titch more in that moment. What I would like you to do now is you have a piece of paper and a pen. And this may be the time when some people get to hold your babies if you want them to. A baby holder. There she goes. There's two baby holders. Okay, and what I want you to do, and you do not need to be an artist to do this. No artist necessary. On the front of this, I want you to draw a picture of how motherhood is for you today. And it could be an object, it could be an idea, or it could be you, a stick figure with your kids, just what motherhood looks like for you today, okay? When you're done with that, I want you to flip it onto the back, and I want you to draw a picture. I want you to imagine yourself 20 years from now, looking back, and I want you to draw a picture of what you would like your journey of motherhood to look like, okay? So current reality on the front and your future picture of what you would like motherhood, this journey, to look like for you. Okay, it looks like many of you are done drawing, and if you're not, feel free to continue drawing or pick it up later today. Any brave soul who would like to share, and you don't have to show your picture, I'm not sure we could see it from here anyway, but just share what you drew as an example of current, what your current picture of motherhood looks like. Yeah. Okay. So that's your current picture of, but it's empty right now. Current picture of motherhood. Okay. Okay. Another current picture of motherhood.
I couldn't draw it, but as I was feeding her, I was thinking, you know, drawing a picture of her at my boob, and then the next one would be them actually feeding themselves and being like, yay!
So we have attached picture and then independent picture on the back, okay? That they're independent creatures. Okay, good, thank you. How about an example of what you would like motherhood to be? Your desired picture of how you want to travel this journey. Yep.
My current one is a house with a tornado. And my future one, there's flowers, the sun is shining, it's warm, calm, peaceful. Those are my two.
Okay, awesome, awesome. So bringing in that sense of calmness, there's beauty, moving away from the tornado. Okay, okay, yeah.
Uh-huh. But for older, I envision us just kind of walking together.
Mm.
Just a sense of getting to know her and just the intimate relationship we'll get to share and being supportive of her as an individual.
Okay, neat. So walking together, really supporting her and getting to know her. Okay. And I love the fact that she was blowing bubbles while you were. Okay. So what I want to do now is move into this, these stories that I collected from these women. And I want to be really, really clear with you about what this is and what this is not. Okay? So what this is really tribal wisdom. And that, as I was pulling this together, it reminded me of women from past generations, how they would sit in sewing circles, or they would sit, you know, I mean, if you go way back within, you know, Indians, you know, sitting around a campfire and talking and sharing stories. So really that tribal wisdom that comes out of lots of people collectively sharing their story. It is experiential lessons. These are real women that had real little babies, that had tornadoes in their houses, that felt attached. Something was attached to them at all times. These are their real experiences. They are voices from people that have gone before us. Again, several people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s. And they're from the hearts of women who did not think they had much to say. Let me tell you, it was not easy to get them to tell their story, because to a T, they said, I don't really know. I don't really have much to say. And isn't that so true of us as women? Is that we think, oh, we did this, but it was messy and it was not right and we failed in so many ways. So how could I have wisdom to pass along? And I want you to just hold that thought in your head, Because if you're like me, when you start to hear these stories, you're like, wow, this is rich. And we collectively all have something to say about our journeys as moms. So that's what this is. What it is not a step-by-step guide. I don't want any of you, I will have completely failed in this 45 minutes if any of you walk out thinking, I need to do every one of those things. It is not a step-by-step guide. It's not a list of must-dos, okay? It's their experience. It's not a shame or guilt trip. You're going to see things, and I saw things I thought, oh, shoulda, woulda, coulda done. You know, no, this is not about shame or guilt. It's not perfect advice. And sometimes you're going to hear things, you go, I would never do that in a million years if I could do motherhood over again. It's not the answer, and it's not the Pinterest guide to being a perfect mom. Because really, when you read through some of the things I would have done over again, and you read through them all, you're like, wow, if I did all this, I would be an awesome human being. Well, I think you'd absolutely be a crazy woman, too. So that really, I want you to listen with an ear of sitting around a campfire and having women share their stories about motherhood with you. And as you do that, I want you to think about what stands out for you, you personally. What themes do you hear? There are threads that run through here. And what do you hear? And then what rings true for you? Okay? And I want you to open your book, if you will, your piece of paper between your current and your future. And on the left-hand side, I want you to jot down notes, if you want to, about these three questions. Just what stands out for you, what themes do you hear, and what rings true for you. Okay? And I'm really going to have story time now. So pretend that you're at the library, you're with your kids, you've come to story time, only it's you that get to stop and listen to the story. And you are all going to get a copy of this at the end of the session as well, so. So if I were to begin the journey of motherhood again, what would I do the same? I would begin with the end in mind. I would consider the quality of relationship I wanted to have with my kids as adults and the fundamental qualities I hoped they would learn. I would do my best to parent them towards that. This end picture is not always easy to keep in mind during the long nights and tough discipline, but it's a nice touchstone that helped me keep focus. I would develop an intentional, warm presence. I'm an intense person, a planner, and a doer. So it was often difficult for me to stop and play or enjoy the walk or savor the silly moments. Developing and valuing presence was the most significant change I experienced as a parent. I believe God sent me these crazy, stinky, snuggly, wonderful boys to teach me a centered and appreciative presence. I would stop to savor, to wrestle, to read, to make some cookies, to watch a cartoon, to have a pivotal conversation, and to enjoy the fact that my children welcome my presence. I would show them love in some way every day. I would invest in faith and educational foundations. I would maintain a consistent and stable home. My children are 45, 35, and 27. I know they grow up very fast. I would invest my time to be there with and for my children. I would support their practices, events, fundraising, etc. I would find other families to participate in life together. I would take the time to focus on the village and realize family is more than the people who were born to me. I would breastfeed all of my children for multiple years. I still miss it, and they're in their 20s. It was the best decision I ever made. I would gather a group of moms to meet together and literally raise our kids together. Having a strong, close group of women who supported me in every way and came from all different walks of life, faith practices, and parenting styles kept me on my toes. I would consistently attempt to strike a healthy balance between giving kids too much or too little independence. I would live overseas with my boys. It made us all depend on each other deeply and bonded my boys together at a time when they naturally pull away from family. It also gave them a global perspective that molded them as people. I would teach them about grace and God's love for them rather than just being good Christians. I would encourage them to be kind over being successful. I would teach them to be the best version of themselves. I would let them know that they are the only ones who can do this. I would try not to solve all their problems for them, especially the disagreements that arise between siblings. If I could do it over again, I would allow my babies to learn to fall asleep by themselves, even if it meant letting them cry. I would put my relationship with my husband before the parent-child relationship. He will be here, hopefully, long after they're gone. I would not make my kids my best friends or confidant, especially in comparison to my spouse or in regards to marital issues. Multiple small kids, I would definitely have nap time and or quiet time at the same time. I would require my kids to take ownership for mistakes and misdeeds, including apology letters, phone calls, and conversations. If I had to do it over again, I would let my kids make mistakes. I would expose them to various cultures, foods, types of people, and ideas. I would believe that God would fill the gap that exists between what a parent can give a child and what a child needs. With a child with special needs, maybe that gap is bigger or more visible. I would believe that his special needs are a gift, to be able to clearly see the gap in your child's needs for God's presence. It has not felt like a gift, but maybe it is. I would seek God's presence in my parenting. I would not feel, due to my own perfectionism, culture, and pervasiveness of parenting information, that it was all up to me and how I was doing. I would focus more on who I was, more on being, and less on how and what I was doing. If I had to do it over again, I would find someone, especially when the kids were young, just to be with me. Not to give me advice or suggestions, but to be present with me, to say your children are lovely, and to understand what was in my heart as a parent. Maybe that's God's role, and he was right there beside me telling me that my children were lovely and that I was a lovely mom. Maybe I was so focused on trying to be a good mom, I didn't hear him or sense his presence or his nearness. I raised an only child. If I had to do it over again, I would keep our family rituals for celebrations where she had a part to play. One example is each Thanksgiving, she would dress up in a new dress with her hair done for our special dinner out to celebrate in a social setting, since our family was limited. I would continue to read with her daily, especially for an only child. It's important to not feel left behind or left out of a parent's life. So what I did, she did with me. Finally, I would continue to celebrate every milestone achieved, and I would reward more of what I wanted. I would make the choice to be a stay-at-home mom again. Most of the mother moms in our neighborhood were stay-at-home moms, so that helped. I would choose to be at home with them after school. It was the highlight of my day to be there when they arrived home, happy, full of energy, and ready to go out and to play. I would read to my kids every night, no matter what time it was. I would teach our kids responsibility by helping them learn how to navigate their own paths and take ownership for their commitments and their actions. If I had to do it over again, I wish I could explain to young mothers how wonderful an empty calendar is. Not having the busy stay-at-home mom lifestyle, music class together, the mommy playdates, the trips to the zoo, the art class, or the busy mom who works full-time lifestyle, camps, classes, vacations, sports, schedule, or the busy mom works part-time lifestyle, all of the above, I would give my family time. I'm not saying the activities are not helpful, enriching, important, and fun. Truly, I'm not. I'm saying I would not let them fill up a calendar. I would not let them rob me of the space and time it takes to really live and see my children. I would believe that being busy is extremely overrated. If I were to do it over again, I would remember that there's no right way to be a mom. We do whatever it is right for ourselves and for our family at this time, even if what is right changes next month. I would know that I have to be flexible and realize because something works today, it may not work tomorrow. I would understand that breastfeeding is really hard. And that breastfeeding and working full-time is really, really hard. I would not put so much pressure on myself. Juggling a family, pumping, work, etc., is more than any one person can handle. I would do my best and realize I supplemented with formula. Oh, well. No one ever grows up to say, Mom, I would have been better off if you'd not fed me formula. I would stop mommy judging. Some moms work, some stay at home, some have an in-house nanny, some are all organic, and some live on hamburger helper. Everyone does it differently, and I don't know their circumstances or reason why. I would not judge. Having kids is hard enough. I would support other moms. I would find time to take care of me, both the basic things as well as doing the things I love, so I would not lose myself. I would realize it is okay to be selfish once in a while, even better more often, so I can be a better spouse, mom, and person. I would not worry about the chores. I would realize they would wait for me when I had more time and energy, whenever that was. If I had to do it over again, I would go on dates regularly with my spouse. While I felt a little guilty when I walked out the door, it was good for me as a parent. The time out with my spouse was so good for our partnership. I'm going to just read a couple more I woulds, and then we'll take a break and then move on from there. If I had to do it over again, I would really listen to my kids. I know with all of the technology, it's so easy to be multitasking. But I would really listen. I won't say it was easy when I went through a divorce. My daughters were 8 and 10. I would still make them my priority, even though I was going through so much myself. When you have to work all day, it isn't easy coming home knowing how much more work there is to do. But I would still stop to feel the arms around me and know there was a lot to share. That's what made it special. We never lost that. So as you've been listening to these snippets from these women of all ages, stages, all religious beliefs, what did you hear that stood out to you? Time? What about time? It goes quickly, okay? Other themes?
Grace.
How so, Mary?
I've heard a lot of like extending it to yourself and others, like mm-hmm. being able to receive it.
Okay. Yeah. What else struck you? Being present. Yeah. Both with yourself and your kids. Yeah, that's what I kind of heard through there. Yeah. Good communication. Yeah.
Particularly today, because when my children were growing up, we didn't have a little. We still didn't do the best job of communicating.
That's wonderful. She said when her children were growing up, we didn't have all this. She said, but we still didn't do that great a job at communicating. Yeah, so communicating, keeping the lines open with the spouse, you hear that, and with the kids, you hear that as well. Yeah. One other insight. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, that's something I really resonated with me as well, is savoring the time. Savoring the time, even though that's one of the most difficult things to do because it feels like there's so much in the moment. Yeah. So I'm going to move on now to what they would not do. If they had to do it over again, what they would do differently. I'm attached here. I clearly wore the wrong outfit, and I've decided that those are only built for men, right, who always have pants to buckle them into. Amy's daughter came up with a great idea. What about if you had a mic that was attached to an earring? Isn't that? Out of the mind of an 8-year-old. But clearly easier than lugging this around. Okay, so if I were to begin the journey of motherhood again, what I would do differently is this. As far as child-rearing regrets go, I would have complained less and hugged more. It's as simple as that. I would have focused on more simple things, games, making things, walking, talking, being in nature. I would work less and be less busy. I think we or I just tried to do too much. Life went so quickly. I would have realized that each phase was just so precious and how much time there would be later to work more. I would have shielded family time more rigorously. It takes a lot of discipline and planning. I would have been more persistent in getting our son emotional help in coping with a chronic illness. He was resistant as a middle schooler, and I think I could have persevered and insisted that he got help, even though he got angry because he didn't want to be different. I would have worked harder to downplay materialism. I think it was easy to get caught up at times in not having our kids feel deprived. Less is more, is often more. And I could have modeled that better at times. It's easy to overcompensate when your family struggled financially when you were a kid. I didn't want that for them. We could have taught more on having a healthy relationship with money. I would have savored more of the one-on-one times. I would have been more present more often. I would have been less distracted. I would have volunteered more and hosted more playdates. I would have tried to get more in control of my emotions. Kids get out of control. They test you constantly. I regret the days I lost my temper. I wished I'd found ways to calm down before I responded. Patience is a virtue which can be learned. If I had to do it over again, what I would do differently is I would have done less guarding and over-guiding. This is such a problem with my generation. I seem to have followed along with all the fear-mongers. I did let my children run on pavement and climb on the monkey bars unattended, many falls and many lessons, but I did not allow them to be alone and to be more adventuresome. They say it's a scary world, and I feel my kids would have benefited from biking to the store for milk, walking to a friend's house alone. I wish I would have allowed them to struggle more and fixed things less. Certainly, there are age-appropriate things for all activities. As a teacher, I had dealt rationally with hundreds of kids. I was surprised by how much I worried about my own, how much I wanted the best, how much I wanted to protect them from anything that might cause disappointment, unhappiness, or loneliness, how much I worried about teaching the right stuff at the right time. Now, what was all that about? That's crazy. Intellectually, I knew that life is not perfect. There are lonely stretches. There are times when you have to be alone, disappointed, unhappy, when a friend ditches you. I would have had more talks about these feelings about life's lessons. I remember when my son was first born. He spent the first day in the NICU, and so while he was there, there was a very brusque nurse brought me a double breast pump and told me, hook up and pump some milk so they don't have to give him formula. I stumbled through attaching myself to what looked like a torture device, and nothing happened. I pumped for a long time and accumulated about an eighth of an inch in the bottom of a bottle. I'd not ever really pictured myself with kids. I was a career-focused and driven woman. I had made the intentional decision to start a family, and I feared that I was not maternal material. So on that day, with little compassionate support from the nurse and my own hormone-enhanced concerns, I was certain that I was in the process of failing to feed my son. He would have to eat the dreaded formula, would fail to thrive, maybe never leave the NICU, and would never tie his own shoes, let alone go to college. Of course, it worked out eventually, but we struggled to latch properly. I struggled with my fears of failure. He hated sleeping in his car seat. The life lessons God had designed for my type A, professionally driven, voted most likely to be your boss self, had just begun. My sons have night and day different personalities. It is tough to navigate how to best parent each. If I had to do it over again, I would be thankful for each lesson, each frustration, each softening moment, and each insight they brought. I would look for opportunities to see how God is using them to make me who I am meant to be. I on-ramped into my career during college, started pastime, moved up quickly, started part-time, moved up quickly, graduated, climbed the ladder into a career that was self-defining and meaningful to me. When I had my first son, I just stopped. No slowdown, no off-ramp, just stopped in the middle of a fast-moving freeway. Though I was older, I didn't have the self-awareness to realize how self-defining my career had become. My mom stayed home. Most of my primary females' influences stayed home. All of them talked about how fulfilling it was, how crucial to child development it was. That's what the good moms did, and so that's what I did. Of course, I had 10-year plans, 20s careers, 30s home, 40s back to work. I'd added this new parenting job, having removed a whole important source of nourishment, stability, and confidence. I had navigated in silence because I didn't want to admit that being at home with my new, wonderful, cute, no-sleeping son, who could not be managed like staff and certainly could not be fired, was not 100% nourishing. Was it okay to want more? To need multiple areas of interest? To have energy and ability to shine in other areas of life? To give myself a break to openly ask these questions? Surely a good mom wants to spend 100% of her time focused on home and family, but what to do with these significant professional skills? Navigating that path was very isolating, sometimes damaging, yet the catalyst for some of the most significant personal growth of my life. If I had to do it over again, I would not sit in silence again. I would ask these questions out loud. I would honor the huge transitions that I've made. If I had to do it over again, I would have less stuff in my house. Between Christmas presents, hand-me-downs, birthday presents, etc., our house is full of material items. Consequently, my kids don't value any particular item and never played with one toy very deeply. I'm noticing our time, and I'm going to give just one more, and then we'll move on. If I had to do it over again, I would share the parenting more equally, especially in the case of babies and toddlers. I would make sure both parents are taking care of themselves, not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually. And lastly, if I had to do it over again, I would be more intentional and thoughtful about every aspect of parenting and family life. What did you hear there? So these are women who are looking back and thinking, oh, if I could do that again, this is what I'd do. What did you hear there?
I noticed that the women were learning self-awareness, and some of them would fall into the traps of being like their community and realizing that either doing fear, going into fear-based parenting, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was very difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so lots of self-awareness. Yeah. And lots of tough times and from that place of fear is right. Yeah. Others of you, what did you notice? Yeah.
I think that women just make themselves feel guilty all throughout.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, if we could just drop that guilt, right? Literally drop that guilt. Yeah, how freeing would that be if we never had to feel guilty again? Other thoughts or ideas that struck you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps more openness around that particular conversation.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
A little less judgment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that very well may be, and the question I would ask back are what are the taboo subjects of your generation? If it's not career and at home, what are the taboo ones that you're fearful of bringing out for fear of being judged? Yeah, that's... Wisdom from the elder in the room. Don't do too many toys and things. Thank you. Thank you. There's right here. Did you have some? Yeah.
I was just going to say, one stood out was making the good and the bad. So easy for us to like sweep away the bad.
Yeah.
And try to push it away. But one person said,
yeah, looking for both the good things and the bad things, learning from both of them. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay, 10:45, right, is time to go into groups. Whatever. I'm. You're easy. Okay. Let me, I want to share just a few thoughts here on parenting on purpose. And my eyes can't see up there what I wrote once upon a time. So these are some thoughts, again. And I want it. Two volunteers, and this is a low impact, low risk. Really. All you need to do is just come up in front. Are there two people that are willing to stand here for 30 seconds? Yeah. One more. But do you just hold the paper? No, you need to stand here. Just stand right here. And you are?
Kelly.
Nice to meet you, Kelly. Okay. And actually, I'm realizing, thanks, Dan, but I'm realizing I can do it with...
Oh, you can do it.
Okay, so I have a list of things up here. I have be on one side and I have drop on the other. And I want to give an example of what I mean by drop. So I'm going to picture this piece of paper as hot, hot lava. It is so hot that I cannot touch it, okay? It is hot, it is burning, it is lava, right? Okay, so I can't touch it, so I'm going to find some tools here because I'm not about to touch this. And I'm going to pick this up very carefully here. I'm going to ask you to hold out your hands because I'm going to pass it over to you, okay? Hot, 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 hot. What are you going to do? Yeah, okay, drop it. Did you notice that? Okay, just in case you didn't, we're going to try it one more time. Okay, hold out your hands. Hot, hot, hot. Oh.
This is the whole thing?
This is the whole thing. Yeah, I've told you, low risk, low risk. Okay, I'm going to drop that. Hot, hot, hot drop. Okay, thank you very much for your participation. Big round of applause. That is what I mean by drop. Okay, literally, we do not want to carry this around with us anymore. So some of the things that I saw and that I've learned from parenting for the last 20 years of my life are we want to be real, right? What we were just talking about here, what are the taboo subjects? In that one particular case, it was talking about the staying at home thing is not all I thought it was cracked up to be. That was taboo. If she had been real, she would have been able to talk to somebody about that. And we want to drop what other people think, okay? And how many of us cling to what other people think as though it's the most important thing going, right? What will people think if I say this? What will people think if I do this? I mean, we cling onto it as though it is the most important thing. So I'm not suggesting these are going to happen overnight, but I want to just put them into your heads as food for thought of what one or two of these things do I need to work on dropping. We want to be self-compassionate. We heard over and over, and when you read through this, you're going to see much more caring for ourselves. The number of women, and especially Christian women, that I have this conversation around, selfish. I'm going to throw out a different definition of selfish. Selfish is any behavior that negatively impacts another human being. Okay? So when my kids were 1, 2, and 3, if I had come home and said, I'm a little tired, I don't think I want to cook, that would be selfish behavior because that would negatively impact them. When I come home now and they're home for the summer and they're 18, 19, and 20 years old and I say, I don't want to cook, you all can cook. Not selfish behavior, not negatively impacting them. But how many of us think, oh my gosh, I gotta cook, they're kids, I'm a mom, that's my job, right? So be self-compassionate and drop perfectionism. Drop that notion that you're being selfish. Drop the notion that perfectionism is even a real thing, right? It is an illusion. It is an illusion because to be perfect, you have to have feedback from somebody else that you are perfect, right? So we go around trying to be perfect, and it's this elusive thing that we can never attain. And it is loaded with shame underneath it. Being grateful. You heard, and that was one of the themes that came up, being present in the moment. We started out with the breathing to just experience maybe just a titch of presence, being grateful for the bad things and the good things, because you can learn from both, and oftentimes we learn more from the harder things. One thing that I've got going in my house, you're welcome to copy it, is a joy jar filled with little scraps of paper. Just jot down once a day or whenever I feel like it or whenever my teenagers are not being joyful, I'll say, go grab a little sheet and jot down something you are grateful for. And at the end of the year, we dump it out and we see what the good things were for the year. Being grateful, we're going to drop that fear, literally drop that fear. Being faithful versus needing to be certain. And again, this road of motherhood, I mean, we have no idea what waits before us, right? We have no idea. And yet we get ourselves, or at least I got my panties in a wad about the right preschool, the right grade school, the right high school, the right college, as though there is an answer for any of those. And boy, on this end, I look back and think, oh, you know what? Lots of different ways can work in great ways. So being faithful that the answer will come when you need it to come. Being restful versus productivity as self-worth. How many of you have heard or have heard the words come out of your mouth, I'm so busy, as though that's like a badge of honor. I'm so busy, meaning I'm so special and important and worthwhile, right? So what if we drop that like it was a piece of hot lava and we took on this notion that being restful and taking time to breathe, even if it is sitting in your car, or as my neighbor, when she first moved to the neighborhood, we'd all lived there for quite a while. We couldn't figure out what was going on. All our kids would come running out to her van and they would sit in the van and we'd be like on our porches looking. There was no mom. And so finally, when we got to know her a little bit better, we're like, what is this? Like, your kids get in the car and 15 minutes later you come out of the house. She said, that is my time. I tell them to get in the car and I sit in my house and I breathe in peace. So, you know, however you need to make it work, you can make it work. The next one, and some of these overlap and interlink with each other, but being present versus striving, right? And I am a huge culprit of striving. Striving, 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 you never arrive. So we can strive, we never get there, right? Because the moment you think you get to that part, you're striving more. And you literally have missed everything that's gone on. And it, clearly a theme here in those words about being present with the kids, whether it's a game or a walk or, you know, a crying baby. And the last one is, what would it be like if you were spontaneous versus always needing to be in control? Okay? So, and again, you know, I was just talking to Emily before we started, and she goes, you know, just 50% of my things I schedule I know are going to fall apart because I'm sick, they're sick, a kid is sick. And so instead of saying, oh my gosh, that's wrong or that's bad or, you know, my schedule's not in control, just say, okay, that is what it is. Let's go with what we have in the moment. Again, lots of these tied together and difficult to drop. But my hope is that when you see yourself on that left-hand side, that you see hot lava and that you see it being dropped, okay? Questions or comments or insights about any of these things up here, ways of being versus what we can work towards dropping. Absolutely, yeah. Just a person to be a person. Yeah. Other thoughts or things that catch you? What's most difficult? Yeah, Emily. That's a good question. Is being aware of the need to drop it enough to drop it? Awareness in it and of itself is changing. When we become aware of something, it actually begins to change. Now, is it enough to keep it changing? Sometimes yes, and sometimes no. So if there's one that you really struggle with, reach out and ask someone for help. Ask someone for advice. Look back in your own life and see, generally, when we're on the things that we need to drop, generally behind there's a wound somewhere. There's a hurt somewhere that says, I need to appear perfect or I need to be in control. And if you, in your own mind or in your small group or with a friend, can go back in your life and say, okay, where was that hurt? Where was that message that led me to believe that these things were important in my life? That's another clue to help unravel that. So it can be as easy as, yeah, I'm aware and I'm aware and I'm aware. and eventually it dissipates, to as more in depth as, okay, what's behind me needing to be there? Good. Anything else? So on your piece of paper, what I'd like you to do is on the right-hand side, is I want you to jot down one of those things. You can do more than one, but just one preferably, about what you'd really like to focus on being and what you're going to need to drop to be that way.